Brad Stevens, Wick Grosbeck come out, defend the organization for how they handled the Ime Udoka suspension. And I am not here for the excuses for bad behavior that people keep trying to hide behind. I am sick of it. And I'm going to talk about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics pod, home of the winners, B.
Hey, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. And I am here for you every day, Monday through Friday, with a fresh, free podcast. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch the show on YouTube. This is Monday. We're heading into media day. By the time you're listening to this, I will be asking the Celtics and new interim head coach Joe Mazzulla all sorts of questions. All of us in the media will be there. So the tomorrow show will be all about that. I'm John Corrales, former professional basketball player, credentialed beat writer covering the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, now heading into my 16th season covering the Celtics. I've also written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. Ime Udoka might have been, once, you know, in a certain timeline, an all-time all-star coach, but now he is on his way out. Let me bring Tom Westerholm in, Tom underscore NBA. We got to talk about it some more because the last podcast was done before Brad Stevens, Wick Grosbeck came out on Friday in a hastily assembled press conference, can we say? It was a very short notice press conference that they came out and addressed what they could address. And so let's start with that, Tom. I mean, the little bits that we got were the timeline that once they found something out, they said they hired an independent law firm to come in and investigate. They said that Wick said the punishment was his final decision, but his conscience said that this was the right thing. And then Brad Stevens was visibly upset, I think, for a couple of reasons. One, he's pissed that his guy, his coaching hire, did this. I think he feels a little bit betrayed. And secondly, and more importantly, he had that very emotional kind of defense of all the women in the organization. A lot to get to. Let's just start with the basics first. I think, to me, the Celtics followed all of the protocols legally to protect themselves here. They did everything they needed to do. If you look at, oh God, something is coming, because Ime did whatever he did, and those details are still kind of floating out there and still have yet to fully coalesce. It seems like the Celtics said, okay, we know we're about to get sued by this person. We know we're about to get all of this stuff, so we got to follow all. We got to check all of these boxes. And number one, hire an independent person to come in, do all of that, and use their recommendations as punishment to get rid of the offending party. That's like step one, like out of the legal playbook.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, frankly, the way that the Celtics dealt with this, I know they took a lot of criticism, and we talked about this last on the last pod a little bit too. They took a lot of criticism for the way they dealt with it. And the further we get into this, the less I think a lot of that criticism was warranted. Cause
yeah,
I mean, you look at the way, I mean, like, you know, the people like to talk about how the Celtics kind of left their, you know, the women on their staff out to dry. And I still maintain that I don't think that was the Celtics. I think that was the people doing the posting of the women. You know, like, if you're the Celtics and this is all breaking and this is all coming out, like, you really have to be careful. You really have to protect yourself. Like, you can't be putting out like hastily prepared statements. Like, you have to be careful. And the Celtics were careful, and they did a lot of diligence. You know, I think they talked about how they've known about this for a little while. They've been investigating it for a little while. I mean, frankly, it's kind of a miracle given, you know, kind of the timeline that Wick and Brad laid out. It's kind of a miracle that this stayed under wraps as long as it did, frankly. So, you know, I guess my overarching takeaway from that press conference was, you know, I thought Brad handled it pretty well. Like, you know, as far as you can handle a situation like this, I thought, you know, he hit all the right notes. I mean, there's only so much you can do. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think he said the things that needed to be said. I think the one kind of thing that was unintentionally a little funny was how Whit Grosbeck kept, you know, people would ask him something and he'd be like, I'm not going to talk about that. And then he would immediately talk about it, which was somebody asked him, like, you guys said violations. Was that intentional? And it's like, well, I'm not going to talk about anything with the investigation. But yes, it was intentional that we said violations. It was.
Right.
Overall, you know, I mean, I think, look, this franchise, this has been a really, really hard week. I thought getting a press conference together as quickly as they did, getting a press conference together on Friday before media day, really smart, because there's going to be a ton of questions about this at media day, certainly, but at least it wasn't the full brunt of just like, you know, it kind of like curbed the initial wave of questions.
Yeah.
Like now, you know, I mean, there will be more, there'll be a lot more, but at least some of the basics and some of the, you know, some of the ground rules for the questions that can be asked, like that, these things have all been established now, which I think was really smart going into Monday.
I think what they did was they took the pressure off of Joe Mazzulla, which they need to do as much of that as possible. You know, and they took pressure off the players because now here's what I expect. I expect to go in there on Monday at noon and I'll ask, other reporters will ask various versions of Ime Udoka related questions. And I think a lot, as often as they can, they will say, that's a front office issue. We're here to play basketball. And then that's it. But at the same time, they're going to have to answer some questions because we're sitting here saying, look, it is your head coach and this affects you on the floor. And you do have to answer the question of, well, how do you pivot from walking into a season and, you know, walking onto the floor and having Whit Grosbeck and Brad Stevens come up to you and be like, okay, here's what's going on with Ime. Joe Mazzulla is your new coach. Like, there's got to be a gut punch in there somewhere. Because as I've been saying, these guys worked. First of all, they vouched for Ime to get here. And well, and this ties into one of the questions that Brad Stevens was asked was, did you do your due diligence on Ime? And there was no history of anything like this, or didn't seem to be any history of anything like this. So I don't know why whatever happened now. That's a different podcast. We'll let TMZ do that podcast.
I was going to say one that we are not qualified to do.
We're just not going to do it. But they vouched for him. They played for him. They bought into the system. They went to the finals. There's a connection there.
Yeah.
And for all of these guys, there's this feeling, just like we had the feeling on the outside. Ooh, we might have something special here. We might have something special that lasts for a long time. And it's just like any other relationship. When you feel like you've met the one, to have that ripped away from you suddenly, you're like, oh my God, what? There's a shock to it all. So they're going to have to answer some level of basketball questions that are related to Ime, but I guarantee the playbook is going to be deflect, deflect, deflect as much as possible. Put it on the front office. They've already talked. We don't know anything else. We're just talking about basketball.
On a weird level, you can almost relate to the players as media people, right? Because like obviously they had like a real relationship with Ime, right? Where they really, you know, thought they knew him and they really like worked with him and stuff. But like in the media, it's kind of the same way, right? Because we kind of follow the same the same pattern of like, okay, now we've watched this guy be a great coach. So now we're gonna write about what a great coach he is. And you know, there's gonna be all this glowing stuff. And it was all earned, right? In the same way that the Celtics relationship with Ime was all earned. Like, this is all like it all happened organically. Like, nobody was really trying to pump Ime up. We were, you know, just kind of writing about what happened. And what happened was he took the team to the finals in his first year as a coach. He broke them through that ceiling that they just could not seem to break through with Brad. So that's why I think it's such a shock to us too. You know, I mean, certainly more so for the players. I'm like, I'm not trying to equate
our
experience to the players' experience, but it's been such a shock for those of us who wrote about Ime all year and who marveled over the way that this Celtics team, you know, like bounced back from that awful first half of that very mediocre first half of the season and became this absolute juggernaut in the way that he seems to inspire Jalen and Jason and just like all the different things that went into Ime's super successful first season. And, you know, like you were saying, like just seemed like a coach who was destined for stardom, seemed like a guy who was on his way up. And for us, it's like, well, now we have to pivot all the way around and be like, this guy's made some really dumb, bad, potentially like, you know, potentially way worse than dumb mistakes, you know,
stuff,
because we still technically don't know, you know, how the extent of this and how bad this is. Like, you know, you almost hesitate to put caps on it because you just don't, we don't know what the situation is. So I don't know, man, you can kind of relate to the players and just kind of feel a small fraction of what they're feeling. Just, you know, fans,
sure,
cheered, right? Fans cheered for Ime and made jokes about, you know, like kind of loving jokes about Ime that now, yeah, they don't hold.
Yeah.
Well. Like this, it's a mess.
Right. Right, right. I mean, look, I'm still as this it came out what Thursday night, and we're recording this Sunday night. So I've had a few days to process this, and I am still in complete shock that this guy really risked it all for what? Let me take a second here because I do have to get into I got to get this before I get into my whole shock over Ime and other more important things. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs this season. NFL, we are in what, week three now? Matt Jones got hurt, so if you're a Patriots fan, it's not great. So hey, that's going to change how people bet on the Patriots. Or maybe not. Maybe people are just always betting against the Patriots. Either way, BetOnline is your number one source for football betting. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles, and analysis on every game you can find. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. It's including Major League Baseball, which is about to wrap up its regular season and head into the playoffs. MMA, boxing, golf, everything is right there at betonline.net, the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events. So head on over to betonline.net. You can use your mobile device to do so and learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Make Locked On NBA your second listen every day. I host on Wednesdays with Jake Madison. I'm also on the show today, this Monday show, talking about Ime Udoka. Monday is a quick whip around the league with the three biggest stories. And unfortunately, the Celtics can remain that. So check it out, Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcast, wherever you found Locked On Celtics. It's also on YouTube. I am just still in disbelief that this guy who busted his ass and was one of the hardest workers in the league trying to hang on. And he knows how tough it is to stick in the NBA. Then he goes to the coaching side and he, you know, is on Pop's bench and he makes his jump to Philly and Brooklyn to try and spread his wings a little bit. It works. He lands this prestige job in Boston. And then, like, I don't know how soon after he was in Boston that this started, but clearly something extended was happening. And if the timeline is correct and they found out sometime in July that something was going on, then that means it was probably going on at some point during the course of the regular season. So this dude in his first season decided that he was going to get involved in all of this And whatever he did, again, we don't know what he did, but it has to be bad. Tom, everybody's sharing the Matt Barnes video. Matt Barnes comes out in defense of Ime Udoka and then says, oh, I got a call telling me what actually happened, and I deleted that. Matt Barnes is, it like, as my friend Ken, he texted me, he said, if Matt Barnes is like taking things back and saying, whoa, that was messed up, you know it had to be bad. And the stuff that's floating around there, the stuff that you're seeing on the TMZs and all this other stuff that I'm not going to give the dignity of addressing, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. It has to be. And like, here's a dude that had the whole basketball world in his hands. I cannot believe that this is how this is going.
It's flabbergasting. Is that a word that you use in 2022? I don't know. I hope he won't mind me sharing this, but the Riffs, man, I was texting with him, and he pointed out to me that, this is sometimes, when fame happens very quickly, like Ime became a super duper star very quickly. And we all know that, like, all of these people see every tweet that's about them. Like, if you're tweeting about a player, just know that they saw it, right? Like, we talked about that before. They have seen it. They're all searching their names. I'm sure that goes for the coaches, too. I have no doubt in my mind that goes for the coaches. Maybe not Brad. I don't know about Brad. But, like, I think Brad might just be mentally healthy enough to not be on.
Maybe.
But, look, I mean, Ime saw all of – I'm sure Ime saw all of it. All of the love, all of the, oh my gosh, Ime is awesome. Ime is this, Ime is that. And I mean, look, like, I don't know. I've never been in that position where I've led a team to the NBA finals in my first year as a head coach. We lost in the Eastern Conference finals and it hurt. But, I think it's possible that maybe this just, like, maybe it happened very quickly. I don't know, because I keep coming back to, like, what you mentioned before. Brad talked about how he'd done his due diligence. Like, he'd done research.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, around the league, all you ever heard were good things about Ime Udoka. And it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe stuff happened really fast. I don't actually have, like, much of a good explanation beyond that, because I'm with you. You know, like, this guy was – we talked last time about how the Celtics don't fire, they don't like to fire head coaches. Like, they like to build.
Yeah.
The first building block here was it was the strongest foundation of any head coach that the team has had in how many years? Like,
yeah.
Have they ever had a stronger foundational building block for a head coach than that? Like,
I mean, this man was, you got to go back to Bill Russell.
Right.
You know?
Right. And, like, And like, that's how far back we're going. Like, this is, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I think it is staggering, right? Like, that, like, the kind of career that Ime had just established for himself, that he was about to walk down, and he was going to be like a Bostonian for a very long time.
Right.
Technically, that's still possible, I guess, but I think we both agree that seems very, very unlikely to ever materialize at this point.
You know, when I first talk about, like, okay, you know, they're suspending him, and as you start to think about things and you have conversations about things, you start to realize, okay, they suspended him, but legally, that's probably like the first step. Like, what they're doing is they're setting themselves up to set up the termination. You can't just terminate right away. You've got to go through certain steps. So, like, I think that there's a legal playbook that's being followed here, and that any assumption that Ime, I mean, there is technically a universe where he does return, but I think any legitimate assumption at this point, having looked at it deeper, I think he's done, and it's going to take a while. You know, he's going to have to disappear for a while. And I'm sure he will still get some amount of money. He'll get some level of his contract that is guaranteed. If they fire him, they owe him everything. And yeah. another element of the press conference was the suspension carries with it a significant financial penalty, as Rick Grosbeck said it. And the way he said it is when you net it all out, it makes it feel like he's suspended without pay, even though he wouldn't answer that question directly.
Yeah.
So, but he'll get someone. Certainly without some pay. Like, he's not getting his regular paychecks. He's probably going to get terminated. He's probably going to get some money. And he better make that money last, buddy, because that money is going to have to carry you through a long, long way, because he's not going to get hired. He is not going to be working in any NBA capacity in any short order. He's got to go through a whole image rehab and all of that stuff. Like, he's got to do his interview with Oprah. He's going to do the whole thing to just like beg back into a second chance. And maybe he'll get it, because everybody always seems to. But I don't know. Again, I don't know the depth of it. I don't know the depth of what happened, but everybody that seems to have some level of knowledge of it is like, whoa. This is, like, as Matt Barnes put it, it's 100 times worse than he would have expected. So I have to take seriously that he threw all of this away and did it in a I don't know, a vile way. Somehow, some level of, you know, he did something that was so bad that the people who find out go, ooh, okay, never mind. You know, like, I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me. How do you work to get there? I got it. I've got it in my hands. And then it's gone. Bye-bye. Potential Hall of Fame career, potential all of that stuff. Bye. For what? Anyway.
No, I agree with you. And I'll just note, too, that I thought a lot of that was, like, if you listened to the way that we talked about how Brad got very emotional over you know, kind of the women in the organization who
yes.
had to deal with a lot. I mean, we heard Brad curse in a press conference for what I think was the first time.
Yes.
You know, I think, and I don't mean to say that to be flippant. Like, Brad legitimately thought that it was rampant BS, and, like, you know, I credit to him.
Yeah.
If you listen to the way that Wick and Brad talked, I mean, they sounded legitimately like livid at Ime. Like, there was no mm-hmm. question of, like, oh, there was no, like, he made a mistake, blah, blah, blah. There was none of that. It was
there's
like
none of that.
I mean, and there were opportunities that they could have taken to go that route, and they just didn't know. Like, they had no intention of doing that.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
I also haven't seen, because players have a lot of power and yeah. they have their social media, I've not seen a single player come out and say anything, not even a vague passing thing. No player has taken a punishment of another black man committing some crime somewhere and was unjustly punished. Punishment didn't fit the crime, and say black men get punished more harshly in the United States. Like no one even took that opportunity to do something vague in that could be applied to Ime. Radio silence from everyone. The players, obviously the organization. Anybody with an opportunity, anybody with knowledge of what happened, everybody's been silent. I think the players not saying anything, not even hinting at it, is telling to me.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I'm sure some of that too is the organization saying, like, we could be liable for things, like, let...
Sure.
Like, do not say anything, because, like, there's a legal process that's playing out here. Like, don't say what. I mean, that could be it too, right? But, you know, yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, no, like, there's no, like, jokey joke, like, emojis or anything like that. No, like, eye emojis, nothing like that. Like, whatever happened here
right.
was entirely too serious for jokey joke, you know, eye emojis. That's nobody's doing that. Nobody's, you know, being that.
That's the whole thing. Being
flippant about this at all.
To your point, the time that, like, everybody in Wick and Brad, super, super serious. Never saying he made a mistake, like you said, and he's going to get, you know, he's got to pay the price. None of that. No one. So just piecing things together, it's very clear that Ime did something. And the stuff that we're seeing, even the stuff that we're seeing now is nowhere close to the final detail, which brings me to what Brad said. And this notion that's been floating around that I feel like I need to address. Brad Stevens was very emotional in saying that they have a lot of talented women in that organization. And the fact that so many of them were dragged into this on Twitter through that rampant BS, he basically said that that's what hurts maybe the most. Because I do think the Celtics have done a good job in being inclusive. I think have done a pretty good job. They could do better, but I think they've done a pretty good job with their hiring practices. They've included a lot of women. It's a pretty diverse mix. And to have this come out and for people to act the way they did, I can see, and I'm with Brad on how upsetting that is. Certainly Brad, because he's closer to these people, but this whole notion that, well, the Celtics left these women out there or anything like that, or that the reporting, it's the fact that it was vague reporting, that's why all this stuff happened. Like, no. There's not a single excuse for anything that happened other than the people who did it were dicks. And that's it. That is the end of the story for me. Stop trying to blame other people for Twitter users, social media users, dragging unrelated, uninvolved people into this. It's not Brad's fault. It's not Adrian Wojnarowski's fault that people, oh, well, I just wanted to know who it was and I just put some random person's picture out there. Don't do that. Stop being a jerk on social media. Like, that is a complete lack of personal responsibility. And if you're pushing off that personal responsibility and blaming somebody else, you're just making this worse. You did something horrible. It's your fault, not somebody else's fault. It's not somebody else. No one else made you do that. You did that. Take responsibility.
There are very clear, this, I think, in more so than many other situations, I feel like there are very clear lines of delineation where it's like, okay, the people who did something, the bad actors here, right, were Ime Udoka, it seems.
Yes.
I mean, from what we can gather from what Matt Barnes said or whatever, it seems like it was Ime Udoka and the people who posted the photos of the women in the Celtics organization. Like,
yeah.
Beyond that, it's like, I mean, you can start to get into like this person's fault for this person's fault for that. And I mean, you can twist yourself into a pretzel doing all of that stuff. I mean, I saw, a bunch of stuff about how, and I mean, I have some sympathy for the argument about the vague reporting and all of that. But then we were talking about before we got on, and you kind of talked me out of that sympathy for it, because honestly, I thought you made a very strong point that it's like, look, this is their job. They knew that Ime was going to get suspended. What are they supposed to do? Sit on that scoop?
Okay. Adrian Wojnarowski found out through a reliable source, because I know what it takes. I know what it takes to get a report. Like, when you report something, you're not just being like, oh, some dude, Celtics dude 06253 DM'd me. He knows who told him that. You're an NBA reporter. You cover the league. And one of the NBA finalists is about to suspend their head coach for violating team rules, potentially significantly, a potential significant suspension. What is he supposed to do? Yes, I'm going to report that. You report that, just like you report. Sources tell me the Celtics have traded for or Malcolm Brogdon.
Yes.
You find out news about the... And so, okay, is it vague at first? Yeah, it's vague at first, because he found something out and he tweeted what he can, and he's going to work on finding the rest. But in this news, and it's the same people who on trade or free agency day are keeping the Woj and Shams tracker, who are like, oh, Shams got Woj three times in a row. Woj is slipping. And, you make it a competition between these guys. And then when one of them says, yeah, I've got a scoop, I'm going to report it. You go, oh, whoa, how are you reporting this vague stuff? You can't have it both ways. So, yeah, I mean, there's, he didn't put out the reason. Eventually the reason came out. Shams tweeted out the reason. And, but that's still
just slipping. Just kidding.
Yeah, right. But that's still, just because you don't know the details doesn't give you the right to drag human beings through the mud in your pursuit of the details. Like that's not how this works. You don't have the right to go out there and put this woman's picture out there or that woman's picture out there and say, oh, is this the one? No, that's a really horrible thing to do. So just because Woj didn't give you all the details doesn't mean you have the right to do that.
Right. Well, and not for nothing, because you brought this up. Woj said ESPN sources, like the multiple sources, kind of like violations. That's intentional. Like he,
right.
You know, this wasn't like, obviously he was proven correct, but also that's worth noting because it wasn't from a source. Like, you know, this wasn't just one person coming to him. Like clearly he, you know,
right.
knew quite a bit. And I mean, regardless, I think the larger point here being like, a lot of blame flying around, right? Where it's like, you know, like Celtics organization right. flying around, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, listen, Ime Udoka, it sounds like, acted very badly. And if you posted a photo of a woman in the Celtics organization and speculated that that might have been the woman, you know, that he had the affair with, then you acted very badly. If you did that, that's bad. Don't do that. You
that's
know,
right.
I'm like, I'm not your mom. I'm just trying to, you know, like, just don't do that.
It's just right. Like, right. Right.
It's a bad like, thing to do.
You're putting a
person in a bad situation. Like,
right. Because now what's going to happen is people are going to go to these games and they're going to see this person. And
yeah.
Twitter is sporadic, right? You see a thing and you go, oh, okay, this, and you don't read everything. Like I read basically everything. Yeah. And so we can differentiate and we can filter out, okay, that doesn't sound right. This doesn't sound right. But the average person who saw that picture probably hasn't seen much of an update and still has this vision. And and one other very important thing is just how the human brain works. Once you get that first thing in, that's the image. That's what's burned into your brain.
Yes.
This is the playbook of the gaslighter. This is the playbook of the, you know, those who are trying to spread the lies. The whole playbook, the first rule is be first. Be the first one with the, like, because once you say, this is the person, now you have to prove that that's not the person to the people who've seen it. So that is an extraordinarily powerful thing to get over. And it's hard. And a lot of these women are going to be at these games because their job is to be on the sidelines, near the sidelines, walking through the court, being surrounded by fans. How many of these fans are going to say something and be assholes to them? Sorry, I'm not supposed to swear on this, but that's nothing else I can call these people. How many people are going to say something to these women? Do you think now that this has come out that these women are all safe and fine? Like, oh, it came out that it wasn't her. Okay, never mind. No, because people still believe it was whoever it was that the picture was. And they're going to get comments.
And even if they don't believe that, that woman still has been given notoriety over something that had nothing to do with it.
Right. Right?
Like, she will still be known for being, even if she's known for being the person that wasn't involved, that's still, not for nothing. For one thing, it should be very clear that this shouldn't happen to anyone, regardless of your resume. But, like, think about how unfair that is to, like if you're a woman working in some of these, like, these are very high profile positions.
Right.
You worked very hard to get to this point, and now the thing that some of these women are going to be known for is like, oh, like, or at least for a while,
right.
You know, is like, oh, this is the person who was involved in this, or at best this is the person who it came out she wasn't involved in this.
Right.
That's right. Terrible. That shouldn't happen.
Women. It's hard to break into the NBA for anybody.
Yeah.
It's harder to break into the NBA for women. And even though there's this push, you have to prove. And I've had women on the podcast that have said similar things. You have to prove things that guys don't as a woman. And so it's harder. It's just harder to achieve some of these levels because guys, a lot of people who are Neanderthals out there will always believe the worst when it comes to women, and they will always discredit. I tweeted out that teams will regret not hiring Becky Hammon. You know, she wins her championship in the WNBA right away. I said, well, some of these teams might regret not hiring her. And I get backlash. I get backlash myself. Oh, name the team. Name the team. Oh, the WNBA is so inferior, so it's easier to, like, get, oh, no. You know, so that's me on Twitter talking about women. Imagine the women and all of the stuff that they get, how much more they have to prove, all of that stuff. And like the instant you're tagged with this stink, it's hard to wash it off. It's harder to wash it off. And it's gonna take some of these women who weren't involved a long time to clear their names of doing nothing, which is insane.
I mean, it might get like, anyway. Unfortunately, it might be harder for them to clear their names than it will be for, you know, Ime to get back into coaching because, you know, he's a very successful coach. Right. Like, yeah, I mean, look, it's really disgusting. And I honestly don't have that much more to add to it.
It's not right. I know what you're saying. It's hard enough to deal with this story.
And the other thing, one more thing I would add too, is just like part of the thing that makes it so hard for women in sports is that in my experience with like women who are reporters, very professional women, and it's always assumed that they're like hooking up with players or whatever it might be.
Well, that's what I was kind of getting at before. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. That's like the assumption, and that's not it. Like that's. And
right.
It's so unfair to them that ends up being the assumption. And then, you know, yeah, like you said, I think that's part of what makes it stick is that everybody's like, see, I knew it.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it. And how many of those people are going to be patrolling the sidelines? How many of those people are going to be close? How many of those people are going to have a few drinks and feel like really, really willing to say some things? There's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that there are going to be some ugly moments at the arena. I hope to hell I'm wrong here, but I'm willing to bet that somebody's going to get kicked out. More than one person's going to get kicked out for making a comment and saying something to some of these women. That's how ugly this is. Cause there's still plenty of people who are going to sit there and say, I don't know what Ime did wrong to get that year-long suspension. I still think that it's, you know, like there's still going to be people who say that. But the bottom line here, I think as we get to the natural end of the Ime discussion, because at this point, what's left? Once he gets fired. The rest of the details are going to just be either salacious or, you know, I don't know, worth mentioning, I guess, but not like at this point, it's just all part of the legal process. So I feel like we've said what we need to say about Ime. And to me, the bottom line is, I think Ime clearly did something. As a former TV person and living in a world where everything, we have to make sure we had he allegedly did something. No, I think at this point it's pretty clear. He did something. Ime apologized for it. He essentially admitted to doing something in his statement because he said he let the team down. He let his players down. He accepts the punishment. So he's not fighting the punishment. All of this is an acceptance of, I did something wrong. He has basically, we don't have to dance around this. Ime did something wrong, and it's apparently so bad that the people, like I've said before, who initially were defending him, once they found out, they were like, nope, never mind. I'm out. And the team saw fit to suspend him for the year and begin this process. This is not something the team would do lightly. I think deep down they were obviously planning on Ime being the guy for a long time. But he did something, and it's very bad. And whatever level of bad is, whatever that is, we'll figure that out. But he's the guy who did something wrong. He's the guy. And he must have had opportunities to stop doing that thing wrong, and he didn't. Everybody else involved, or not involved, I think, like the women, that's just unfortunate. People who are dragging these women or did and like said, oh, well, I'm sorry, you know, like, eh, like, no, not good enough. And I think the team handled it about as if you look at it at face value, seems like they handled it fairly well. And that process of independent outside law firm, all of that feels like they did everything they're supposed to do. And this was the determination. So that's it. That's it. Ime messed up and he's out. And you know, there, that's it. The women who were involved, no other punishment. That's the last bit. No one else got punished. So that tells you something too. After all of this, no one else got punished. Just Ime. So.
And again, seems noteworthy to me that the people who know or can credibly claim to know something about what happened, none of them are like, wow, it's unfair that the woman isn't getting punished. That's not the reaction from Matt Barnes. You know, like, right. We're basing a lot on Matt Barnes saying he knows, but you know, there was none of that. So yeah, no, it's it seems pretty clear where the fault lies here.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate, you know, and just from a basketball perspective, the basketball perspective sucks too, because you thought you had something here. You really thought you had something, you know, you hired the guy and he came in, he did such a good job. And, you know, strictly like, saying this at the end for a reason, because I don't want to minimize anything. He looked like you had yourself the coach. You looked like you had this guy locked up for a while, and this was going to be the guy. This was going to be your Greg Popovich. This was going to be the guy, you know? And it's just, wow. I can't believe, you know, good luck to Joe Mazzulla. Good luck. And we'll be talking to Joe on Monday, again, as people might be listening to this. So lots more coming out as far as the on-court stuff. The on-court stuff is now going to be the focus. What Ime did, I think, We can put that to bed now and say what he did, it's all legal stuff now. Now we're focused on what's happening on the floor. So
that's deeply optimistic of you, but I hope you're right.
I'm hoping. I mean, at least for this podcast, yes. Like as far as this podcast is concerned, I've said everything I need to say, I think, when it comes to Ime. Obviously, as details come out, maybe they'll warrant more comment, but I've said everything I need to say, you know. I've shared my disappointment in him. I've shared my disappointment in the people on social media. I think there's nothing more to say. We've done it. And now, as far as I'm concerned, it's how does Joe Mazzulla handle this group? How do they move forward? And, you know, do they have the pride in themselves to say, hey, we're going to win no matter what? If Ime's gone, if Ime didn't feel confident enough or didn't feel like it was important enough to preserve this, then we don't think it's important enough to care about him anymore. Like that, I don't know, as a player, that kind of would be my reaction. If you, this is my last thing. I'm talking a ton right now, I know. But if I'm sitting there as a player and I'm like, you yelled at me for making all of these little, you lit me up. You MF'd me up and down for making these mistakes. Meanwhile, you're up doing this.
Like a-holes. You're the a-hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, you're doing all this stuff and violating these rules. And if it's true that he ever got any warning and disregarded the warning, then right. Like, well, you're a hypocrite. The rules apply to us, but they don't apply to you. And you so flout the rules to a point where you get yourself suspended and basically fired eventually. Like that, like screw you, man. Like you, I thought you cared about us. You didn't care about us. You cared about you. And like, I'm done with you. Like for me, I can see a player being like, I'm done with him because he messed this up and we have something special here. So he clearly didn't want to be a part of it, because if he did, he wouldn't have done what he did.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was, I apologize to the person who tweeted this out, because I thought it was a cool moment that I don't remember who tweeted it, but somebody pointed out that Marcus Smart was at the Post Malone concert in Boston, yeah. And he came out on stage, and apparently everybody just went nuts for Marcus Smart. And it was like, that's cool. You know, like after that's all awesome. Of this, that must have felt nice for Marcus after all of sure. The stuff that's happened this week, to just have that, like, okay, like this is still
yeah,
my
yeah.
City, this is still my, you know, my team. Like these are, I do think that once they get out on the court together a little bit, once they get some of that normalcy back, like maybe things can go back a little bit. Maybe they can kind of start to feel that, like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, Ime situation messed up, but these are the guys that I've been playing with for a long time. I've grown as an NBA player here. There is a comfort level here that I can find again, even in the midst of all this kind of pandemonium.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. I'm going to wrap it up. So, because if I don't wrap it up, something else is going to pop into my head. I don't want that. Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate everybody here checking out the show. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Hey, now make Locked On Fantasy Basketball your second listen. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. It's free, available wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you found Locked On Celtics. You can find Locked On Fantasy. If you found Locked On Celtics and you have not subscribed and you're still listening to the sound of my voice, hopefully that means you've enjoyed the show. You've gone through, I mean, this is like 50 minutes of podcasting, well past what I'm supposed to be doing. Back to the half hour as we move forward. Just so much Ime stuff to talk about. But subscribe, please. I would love it if you subscribe. I promise I'm going to be talking basketball from now on. And I'm done with this. Whatever this was. So subscribe there. You can watch the show on YouTube. Appreciate you doing that. Ring the bell. Make sure you get your subscribe and your notifications and all that. Whatever. You know what to do. Share the podcast. Tell your friends and family and everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.